In today's episode, I sit down with Wyatt Knight, who is Bayer Performance Nutrition's executive assistant. And this one is packed with some powerful information. Guys, the last couple days on my morning runs, I've been thinking about this concept, and this concept is all built around maturity. And this equation that perspective and experience, life perspective and experience, build and create maturity over time. And I think Wyatt is the perfect definition and example of this equation, that the things that he has chosen to do and the things that he has chose not to do over a course of 10 plus years has led him to living a very fulfilled life and a life that is built around very smart decisions and a lot of perspective and experience. So let's dive into it. You guys are going to take a lot away from this episode and ways you can change and impact not only your life, but the life of people around you as well. You are listening to the Bayer Performance Podcast, where we discuss topics on fitness, nutrition, business, and leadership to help you perform at your highest level and go on more. I'm your host, Nick Bayer, founder of Bayer Performance Nutrition and prior U.S. Army infantry officer. We've scaled our brand through our core pillars of transparency, service, and integrity. And now I want to share with you, through our experience and our guests, how you can optimize your life. Welcome to the show. All right, guys, today we have, it's a juicy one. It's about to be. I don't know what we're about to drop on you guys, but I know it's about to be wild. In today's episode, I have special guest Wyatt Knight. Now, Wyatt is BPN's executive assistant. And, you know, I was running this morning, and the past couple days, I had this topic on my mind that I wanted to talk about in a podcast, and I was going to do a solo one, and I thought this would be perfect to bring Wyatt on. So the concept of this podcast episode is the equation that perspective plus experience equals maturity, and there are outliers, there are exceptions to this rule, but I personally believe that maturity is built on experience in life and perspective through learning, through mentorship, through experience itself as well. So before we really dive deep into it, I want to say welcome, Wyatt. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor. Honestly, it's been amazing being here, and it's been a hell of a run so far. And just taking notes every day from what you're saying and to be on this podcast is a very cool experience. And the things that you have just alluded to will be the reason why I feel like I have the opportunity to be sitting here in front of a legend like yourself talking about things that could really make a difference in people's lives. So thank you for having me.
How long have you officially been working here now? It feels like years.
1 week at BPN is literally a year's worth of activities, and what crosses our desk is a year's worth of ideas and things and action that is going on. So in BPN years, it's been about 100 years I've been here, but in reality,
you age well.
In reality, I feel good, feel optimized, following your lead. In reality, I started January 15th of this year, and today is June 3rd, so going on five-ish months.
And we've done a lot. Your first big, you know, so Wyatt started in January, and pretty much as soon as he started, it was, hey, we're running this marathon January 30th. I need you to take lead in planning everything. The execution was phenomenal. It was excellent. But we were just talking about how everyone at BPN that's been hired, that is part of the team, has not necessarily joined the team in a traditional sense where, you know, in a traditional job or workplace, you apply maybe online, you come in for an interview, maybe you have a second round interview, you get the job or you don't get the job and you start working there. That's typically the traditional route. BPN is a little different. No one has really been hired in a traditional sense. And we'll tell Wyatt's story here in a little bit. But, you know, Yoli here, he's in the room as well, too. Everyone has their own story. And I could spend hours talking about everyone's story. Yoli, for example, you know, Yoli is one of our creatives. And he's taking lead on the new Beyond the Bee series, which is essentially a behind-the-scenes look at BPN. And he was one of the leads with Tyler on Iron Man Season 2. And the way we found Yoli was with one of our ambassadors, Ross. Ross and Yoli came in and filmed together. I started talking to Yoli a little bit. And then next thing we know, Yoli's in the back of my truck while Trey and Jordan are driving it. And he's filming me run in the hot summer Texas heat. Day one, Yoli, I was watching this young kid. He's probably 22 at the time. He's 21. Yoli was 21 at the time of this interview. And he's back of the truck, and I could tell he's so nervous. And I look up before we start running and filming, and I watch him drop his camera off the back of the truck onto the ground. So we gave Yoli a 30-day internship, and then at the 20-day mark, we offered him the job. We took him to this local restaurant called Golden Rule, told him the job was his. He thought we were bringing him there to fire him. He thought he was never going to see us again. We gave Yoli the job there, and the dude has excelled tremendously, has grown and developed over the last couple of months. It's been amazing to see. But that's just one of the stories of one of the people. So, Wyatt, tell me your story about how you found BPN, what essentially brought you to the Austin area. We'll dive deeper into after college, Florida, DC, all that stuff. But what brought you to Austin? And then how you got hired for the job.
I'll start with a big picture, work myself down talking bullet points, and we can dive into it. But for me, it's been a whole life journey, but really a very focused 10-year journey. When I was 21, 22, and I'm 31 now, I was working in Harlem, New York, and I was building out a nonprofit that teaches lacrosse to inner city youth. These inner cities, this is the 99th percentile in the poverty rate. These are the percentage points for these young boys I was working with to succeed in life was single digits, right? Most of these students drop out of school and they join gangs, they do drugs, they go to jail, they get killed in these environments we're living with. And it's just the most eye-opening experience because I was born in this very stable social economic situation, this great family. My path was very clear. You go to school, you go to college, you get a job, everything is aligned with your life and you just kind of follow these steps. And it was this working in Harlem for 2 years, and I'm still very involved with this nonprofit called Harlem Lacrosse. It was a complete reality check on my life and on the world. And what am I going to do with this life that I'm living now that I know that I do have everything that I can, I have everything I need to be everything I ever wanted to be. I remember reading a quote from Tony Robbins, and I would take the subway from 33rd and 3rd in New York all the way up to 125th Street every day. And that difference is some of the most wealthy individuals in the entire world. And then you go into Harlem and it's some of the people living in the toughest situations in the United States. So in that little journey, I'd always read these quotes and read these books. And I remember listening and reading a Tony Robbins quote. And he says, "My definition of success is doing what you want, where you want, with who you want, as much as you want." And I remember reading that, and I remember experiencing what I was experiencing every day, going to this failing middle school and seeing these families that are living in homeless shelters and struggling and getting kicked out and getting evicted and parents in jail and students missing. And I remember looking and kind of just having a moment with myself and saying, I have to do that. Like, I have to live that life. I can, based off of the life I've been given and the things I feel I've earned in my own little bubble of earning things, I have to live my best life. I have to do what I want, where I want, with who I want, as much as I want. So from that moment to starting working at BPN has been one giant journey to figure out what does that look like? How is it going to feel when I'm there? And how do I make all those pieces work of living that life? The day that I started working here was that 4 for 4. I'm doing what I want, which is, for me, it's maximizing human potential, which is what you and I thrive off of and live off of, where you want in Austin, Texas, working at BPN with Nick Baer and Ulysses Gabriel. Do what you want, where you want, with who you want. Team BPN, the Go One More Nation, my wife, Jane Brady, like us going on this magical journey. Do what you want, where you want, and who you want, as much as you want. And the best part about working at BPN is it's a free-for-all to do whatever you think you need to do to make BPN an even better version of itself every single day. And so that mindset has always been in my life. And we moved to Austin because Jane and I, my wife, because we said Austin is where we're going to complete that 4 for 4. I knew that working at BPN, and I had three options that I really wanted to, three things I really wanted to do in Austin. I said that would be 4 for 4. If I'm doing that in Austin, I'm the most successful version of myself I've ever been. And moving to Austin, we moved. I didn't have a job because of the pandemic, and I was doing personal training on the side. And so I moved, and just the rest of my savings were in just moving this U-Haul, this house, this whole lifestyle. And Jane was able to keep her job, thankfully. Moved here, and I was like, this is where it's going to happen. I just felt it. The neighborhood, the environment, the people, the places, the things. And the first time I ran into you, and I've been following you since 2018, and huge influence, you and Go One More and the BPN community, huge influence. I remember running into you on the Ladybird Trail and seeing you. And I was literally at that moment, I'm thinking about, this is where I'm going to see Nick Baer. This is where like all these pieces of the last 10 years are going to start coming together. And I was literally having that moment with Jane running next to me. And out of nowhere, I see this freaking missile running, this tank running around the corner. I'm like, holy shit, that's Nick Baer, you know? And I think for me, it was just this amazing moment because Jane and I went all in on ourselves. We invested everything we had to get to the point where we were going to live our best lives. And that moment was when it kind of all came together. And then I was thinking, how do I get to you? And you reshared my Instagram story. I'm like, all right, that's a positive. Cause I
remember
talking
that. I remember resharing that. And you're talking about going more. I think you were outside like on a balcony or something. And I remember the hair and the hair and the headband. That's what I remember.
It was flowing. And I just said, like, I kind of told that story in that Instagram story saying like, you got to work hard to get to the spot where you want to be in your life. And society is built off of not helping people get to that point. It's very hard, and you know best to get to a point where you are successful, whatever your version of success is. And so the last couple months, I think we ran into each other August or September. A tidbit I can give advice to anyone that's listening that wants to get their dream job or wants to get to their dream spot and location is like, you got to put yourself out there. And I remember when moving to Austin, I just started reaching out to all these friends of friends that I knew in Austin saying, hey, I'm moving. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm looking to do. And 9 out of 10 of the people were like, I haven't talked to this guy in 10 years. What the hell is he doing? Like checking my ego saying, I'm sounding like an idiot, but I'm just going to put this thing out into the world saying, I'm moving to Austin. I want to help people. I want to make a difference. A BPN type of place is where I want to work. And I remember a friend of a friend, he heard that message. I told him, I texted him, and he reached out and saying, hey, I just saw Preston Baer sharing on his story that they're hiring for a Black Friday sale. They need some people to help in the back of the warehouse, moving some boxes and throwing some things away. And my first reaction was a huge ego issue, right? Like here I am, I felt like I had certain accolades. I had a degree, I had a job, I had this and that. And all right, my break into BPN is working in a warehouse, you know, crushing boxes and being the guy that's working 10-hour shifts and not having a chance to connect with Nick. And once you have a chance to take a deep breath and reflect, I'm like, all I've ever told myself is just to get in the door, right? And the easy path is the wrong path, right? So I was like, this is the perfect example, perfect opportunity to get in the door, work hard, bust your butt, and see what happens. And I showed up that day with the smallest amount of ego I've ever had, but the biggest ambition and hope to be like, I've worked hard to be in this position. I've worked hard to have an opportunity to connect with the BPN team, a place that it's not easy to get in the door here. It's not easy to get a job here. You have to set some sort of standard to have an opportunity to make a difference here. I remember all these pieces coming together and just looking around, and the rest is history, and we can dive into that. But long story short, it's just this 10-year magical journey. For 9.5 years, it didn't make a lot of sense. We've lived in a lot of different places. I've had every type of job. I've had a lot of money. I've had no money. I've had feeling like I was successful, feeling like I had no idea what I was doing with my life. And working here has been the culmination of a long journey to be here. And every day getting an opportunity to pull into this parking lot is a dream come true. And we all feel that way at BPN, which is the magic of working here. Every person that works here is living their dream every single day.
I'm a big advocate of seizing opportunity. I think we all have opportunity, but so many people don't see it as opportunity. They might see it as an obstacle. They might see it as an inconvenience. There's all these opportunities and they're going to hit you at the most inconvenient times. But some people just take opportunities. Like you and me both, we jump on opportunities. And I remember walking back into the warehouse on Black Friday and seeing you working back there and just passing through. And, you know, I'm very observant. So I'm constantly watching like people's work ethic. And you can tell as days went on, some people got really tired. Some people got lazy. Boxes weren't getting thrown away. And I'd watch you and I'd be like, this guy's always working. And I'm a big proponent of following my gut. I feel like my gut is my best instinct. Straight away from following my gut, I've always made the wrong decision. When I followed my gut, 99.99% of the time, it is the right decision. And something told me, I was like, I saw you working. I said, I need that guy on the team. That has happened with multiple other people too, within BPN. With Clink, for example, I said, I don't know where I can put this guy, but I need Adam Clink on the team. Same thing was with you. I was like, I don't know where Wyatt fits in, but I know this guy needs to be a part of the team, right? Because my main purpose, or one of my main purposes with BPN, is building and developing a team so we can grow and help more people. When I saw you working, and I could just tell, I had this gut feeling, it's like this guy needs to be a part of the team. And here we are, a few months later, you're on the team, you know, and making big things happen. So that's how Wyatt joined. Now I want to rewind a little bit. All right. I want to hear first what made you decide, because between you reading that quote and making that decision to find your 4 for 4, I want to know what happened between that moment and landing in Austin, Texas, what you learned. But first I want to know, how did you get involved with Harlem Lacrosse? Because I know you were a lacrosse player in college. What made you say, I want to help people that are less fortunate than I am?
Yeah, and I would just quickly talk about seizing opportunity. Every major thing that's happened in my life has been these minuscule little quivers of a thought of an opportunity that I said, that's it, right? That's what I've been waiting for. And I think so many times we do get caught up in the idea that there's going to be this big magical miracle or announcement, or someone's going to walk up to you and say, hey, this is the opportunity. This is it. You should do this, right? This is what you need to do with your life. And 100 times out of 100, you are the one that's going to have to say, I need to make this work for myself, right? I need to see this that's happening and realize that it's happening for me. Jane says all the time, everything in your life is happening for you, but no one's going to do the work. No one's going to just say, all right, here it all is. Now get to enjoy all of the opportunity that's given to you. And my dad always said a quote that he always gave my brothers and I is, he goes, everyone has opportunities, but not everyone seizes them. And I think you are the culmination of the experiences and the people that you had during your childhood. And that was a big childhood memory of mine, which was, you are the culmination of the experiences and the people, and you need to seize those opportunities that you present themselves to. And I think for me, it's been always trying to figure out like how to help people at the highest level. And I think that really drives me to be who I am every single day, and trying to, what I've learned along the way is like, I need to help myself first in order to really be able to help other people at the highest level. And I think that's what my experience in Harlem taught me, in order to truly make a difference in people's lives and understand that like, that is what I want to do with the rest of my life, is make a difference and impact people at the highest level. But every one of these little experiences I've had, lacrosse was brought up to me by my mom sat next to a random lady at my older brother's high school football game. And she just started talking about this random sport called lacrosse that my brothers and I should play. And my mom and I seized on that opportunity. And we took that and had a great high school career and played lacrosse at the University of Virginia. Won a national championship. Virginia just won the national championship again this past Monday. So I got to play lacrosse like at the highest level. And Harlem lacrosse, another manifestation of me just putting out this energy into the world and hoping something's going to stick. Virginia lacrosse alumni has a huge network. And after I graduated college, I literally was like, I have no idea what I want to do. I just know I really want to make a difference. I want to help and I want to do something different. I want to go out and really experience, if we're talking about perspective and experience, I really want to go to where someone is needed to make a real difference. Because I think we have boxed ourselves into society, like you just follow these steps in your life and someone's telling you where to go, what to do, how to live your life every single day. And I said, I want to go do something different. I want to make a difference. I want to see what it really feels like to have had an opportunity to help people in their lives. And so I'd never been to New York City, lived and grew up in South Florida. Virginia was like the farthest north I'd ever been from growing up in Florida. And I heard about this opportunity in Harlem teaching lacrosse to inner city kids. And I packed my bag the next day and I told my parents, I was like, I'm moving to New York City. I'm going to go live on a couch for 6 months and I'm helping launch this nonprofit that's going to change the lives of at-risk youth using the power of, we say, sports and teamwork and using the power of leadership to structure the lives of these at-risk youth. It was the pivotal moment in my life. When I think about that, I think about probably you and your Ranger School experience kind of just snapping you into this ultra reality saying, I'm here in my life. I want to get to the next point, knowing what I went through with this experience is going to catapult me. What I've learned is going to help put me in another position to make a bigger difference in my life. So it was like this stepping stone where I had this reality check of like my life in the world and what I can do to make a difference in it.
I think a lot of people, as you're saying this, I'm thinking a lot of people think that as soon as you graduate high school, there is this clock that starts ticking and you're racing against the clock. I know so many people that high school and then it's like, okay, college, now I have to find a job, now I have to find a spouse, now I have to start making babies, now I have to start planning. And it's like, instead of making things go faster, I think where people benefit, and it sounds like you did it, is there's a disruption to slow things down. Going fast and racing against the clock, that is a choice. You're not forced to do that. But also slowing things down is also a choice. Slowing things down in order to find out what you really want to do. Life is this long thing, right? And for some reason, we always think it's going to end tomorrow. So we're acting like it's going to end tomorrow. We're trying to go as fast as possible. For me, the military was a forced disruption in this speed to get towards whatever I thought this wasn't life, right? So like the military was this disruption that slowed things down for me, that gave me the experience and perspective I needed to get to that next phase of life. And it sounds like your disruption and then this speed was choosing, I need to serve something that's bigger than me. I need to find this selfless service, and choosing to slow things down so that you can set yourself up for that next phase.
Yeah, it's kind of like you said it best, like following your gut. And wherever you are in your journey, whether it's high school, college, whether you're in your 20s, whether you're older listening to this podcast and you're not where you want to be, that's a great thing to know that you're not where you want to be, because you can become that person you want to become. You could change things up drastically right this second that you heard me say that, right now, and you could change your life, right? Being where you don't want to be is a great stepping stone to be where you want to be, because it's more important, I think, a lot of times to check things off your list than to add things on your list, right? Like if you're thinking about who am I, what do I want to do with my life, how do you, if we're talking about experience, all right, how do you figure out what you do like or what you don't like? And I've never been someone that wanted to base my life, my mission, my life, this entire thing called being a human being on planet Earth, I never wanted to base it off of someone else's perspective, someone else's opinion. I look at it like a big pie chart. Like I'll take other people's opinion. I'll take thoughts. I'll read, I'll listen. I'll observe as much as I can. But ultimately that's about 10 to 15% of the pie chart of my life. The rest is going to be based off of going out and really experiencing those things directly at the root of where those things are happening, right? And for me, that gut reaction was when I started thinking about not staying in Harlem after that, because right after when I found Harlem, it was like, that's what I'm supposed to do for the next couple of years. But I started transitioning, thinking, what's the next thing? Where am I going to go? What can I do? How can I make a bigger difference? And I remember one of my mentors said, don't overthink this whole job career thing. Think about gaining experiences and building a really great network. And so for me, that was the backbone of the last 10 years, which is like, do what you want, where you want, with who you want, as much as you want. Underneath that umbrella, experience things that you may want to do. And if you don't like them, move on, right? There's going to be collateral damage. Every action has a reaction, but do them and move on and meet people along the way that are doing things you may want to do and doing things you may not want to do. The culmination of all those things is where you should decide, that's what I want to do. And that's why this BPN job is perfect for me, because the last 10 years, I was thinking about this exact job, like to the T, from the second I get here every day to the second I leave, like this was that job. But other jobs, I was able to work out in the morning and help people, but I wasn't doing where I wanted to do, or the city or the people or the places, right? So like this job is the culmination of trying a lot of things, learning from them, having to deal with a lot of worry about what other people thought about me moving jobs, moving cities, giving all my money out to these nonprofits organizations, but dealing with those repercussions, knowing that I believe in myself and I went all in, and you've been a huge reason why I went all in a few years ago and said, the best investment I can make is in myself. And I know where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be there because I've worked hard to be in that position.
So tell me, what happened those 10 years? You know, I know bits and pieces. I know bits and pieces of some things you did in Washington, D.C. I know some pieces of Florida and getting in commercial real estate. I kind of want to know like what happened in those 10 years. What perspective and experience did you gain within that time?
Yeah, well, if you told me what would be the avatar you talk about all the time, about finding avatars, whether they're a client, whether it's a version of yourself, whether that avatar to me was living on the beach with my wife and my little family and my little dogs. And Jane and I moved to the beach a couple of years ago. And for me, that was everything I ever wanted in my life. And I had that opportunity where I'm like, you know, I've checked off a few things off my list now. And what's that next thing in my life? You know, I won a championship at University of Virginia. That was a dream of mine. I helped build this amazing nonprofit that now is throughout the country. And a lot of these students now are like my little best friends who are the first generation students going to college and making a difference and changing Harlem, changing inner cities, changing a lot of good things about America. And now I'm living on the beach with my wife. And I was like, that's when I found your videos. And I was like, you helped me realize like the best business model, the best thing you can do is go all in on yourself, you know? And I think it took a long time because there had been 5 cities in 5 years that Jane and I lived in. So we met in New York City in 2016. We moved to Lexington, Kentucky for a year. Then we went to Jacksonville Beach, Florida for a year. And then we lived in Washington, D.C. for a year. And now we're in Austin, Texas. But for me, it's always like, what's the highest and best use of my time and energy to make the biggest difference in the world? And so I've been in the nonprofit sector. I've been in the, I would just call it a corporate sector, sitting at a desk, suit and tie, because nonprofit, you can make a lot of money. I mean, you can make a lot of difference. You don't make a lot of money. Corporate, you can make a lot of money, but it's hard to make a difference. And I think that lifestyle for me wasn't appealing in terms of what we said, like you work, you retire, you die. Like for me, that was just not an appealing lifestyle. I've been self-employed. I've been completely broke. I've had a lot of money. I've had a little money. I've worked in Eastern Kentucky, which is one of the poorest regions in the entire country. I sat on the beach for an entire year. I got back involved in politics. And as soon as you helped me realize that like your health and wellness in general is at the foundation of anything successful in your life. And as soon as I started making health and wellness more of a priority, saying like, I'm at my best when health and wellness is in my life, whether it's a workout or fitness or my eating or my sleeping. And the last couple of years, I've been diving more into health and wellness. And I think health and wellness is the key towards a better me, a better you, a better us, a better community, a better world. Because the politics, the nonprofits, the corporate, all that is kind of these crutches that we have on society that get in the way of us maximizing our own potential and realizing that the person you want to be, the community you want to live in, starts with you taking care of your own life. It involves you stepping up to the plate and saying, I need to walk my talk, right? It's become so easy to talk a big game through the world we're living in now through social media. It's much harder to walk your talk. And so that's where the last 10 years have been. It's like finding what's that avenue of my time and energy, because I think those are the two nucleuses of anything you want to do in your life. How much time and energy can you put into it? And will that equal making the biggest difference in the world? And when it all came together where I could work with you, maximize, hopefully maximize my potential, maximize your potential, maximize BPN's potential, I think what we are doing and the mindset we are, because that's all we're doing. We're just helping people with their mindset. They're the ones that got to do the work still. But helping people with that mindset for me has been the highest and best use of my time and energy to make that difference, because what we see on a daily basis with the BPN community is changing and will continue to make an even bigger impact on the world. So it's all been this trial and error the last 10 years of saying, what did I like here? What didn't I like? How could I combine those? How can I keep growing? And never settling until I was sitting at the BPN podcast studio podcasting with Nick Bear.
And I think that's why, like, every day that I show up to work and every night when I'm going to bed thinking about this business that we've built, and I say we, it's, I founded the business. I started the business with this small loan in Western Pennsylvania, but I did not by any means build the business by myself. My brother was involved. My family was involved. Everyone that walks into this building every single day has been involved in building this business. And the business that we have built is like this. I feel like we won the lottery with it because we're helping people improve all aspects of their life, physical, mental, emotional, through health and wellness. Like you said, like we talk about all the time, where it's not about looking your best. It's not about building the muscle or running the fastest mile. It's about feeling as good as possible, optimizing all areas of your health and wellness. Because if you optimize all areas of your health and wellness, that has this trickle-down effect. It has an effect on your kids, your spouse, your friends, your family, the things you put out in the world, right? And that just has this multiplication factor, this force multiplier that is forever powerful. So I'm grateful for when I come in this building, I know it's this lottery we hit because we're helping people achieve what they need to achieve in order to make the world a better place. We're fulfilling our passions and our purpose by walking in this building and doing that. And now, especially like this past year, you know, on social media, a lot of people don't see what we're doing behind the scenes and building and working towards. But now we're really getting involved in the local community. And that has been super rewarding. If that is from working with Team Red, White, and Blue and serving military veterans, leaving the military through physical and social events, or with local businesses. So like Taco Ron and Gatlin Ranch, 600 Degrees Pizza.
Yogi Diana, shout out.
We're bringing all these amazing people in and working with it, but we want to help. We want to make this community a better place, because my theory and my concept is I can't change the world by going and implementing this new system or this new approach, but I can change the lives of the people that I can touch. And my hopes is that by changing those lives, those people go and change 10 more lives, and those 10 people go and change 100, and then 1,000, and then 1,000,000. And it's this force multiplier. And that is what we do here. You know, that is the intent. So through these 10 years, you know, from Harlem to BPN, you gain this amazing perspective and experience. Would you say that this is where you matured the most in life, this 10 years?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the first 20-something years were just the sum of being a white male born in a very stable social economic situation. And I think that was just the standard. That is the standard in America of being born in that environment. I know there's a lot to unpack in that phrase there, but for me, there was no hard decision. I mean, I transferred high school so I could go play lacrosse at a better high school so I could give myself a chance to go play at a better college. That wasn't a hard decision. That was the easy decision staring right in front of me. And I had the money. My parents had the resources to pay to go to boarding school. So I think from the day I was born to day before I left for Harlem was just the cookie cutter white male experience in America. And I never took that for granted. My parents were very much, and I think the root of me wanting to help people a lot is my mom was very involved with kids in distress, and my dad was very involved with Habitat for Humanity, both huge nonprofits that make a huge difference. And my childhood was spent, my mom and my dad dragging my two brothers and I to go to these events. So I knew that I was in a good position in life, comparatively speaking, relatively speaking. And your journey is all relative to all the factors in your life and not in your life. But the decision to go to Virginia was just a dream come true, but it wasn't this hard decision. And so when I made that decision, I think for me, and I could say the same thing when Jane and I decided to leave New York a couple of years ago, we had the best thing going in New York. We were living together. We were just falling in love in New York City, pound for pound, 5 years ago, the best city in the world. Such a great community, great friends, great job, great opportunities. But I think we kind of realized that maybe that would be the easy path, right? Like that would be the cookie cutter experience of what I should be doing. And we decided to uproot our entire lives, our entire potential in New York. And we moved to Kentucky and we spent over a year and a half working in Eastern Kentucky, helping high school students come up with business plans to help spur businesses in Eastern Kentucky. Because the hollers of Eastern Kentucky, that Appalachia region, the previous coal country, is the most decimated, poorest region in the entire country. And so to answer your question, I think because I realized that I do have the opportunities to make a difference and to do something more with my life based off of what I've been given and what I've earned, that I have to. I can't take the easy route and I can't just have other people make these decisions for me and just look back at my life. And I think for anyone out there that is trying to figure out what the next phase of life is after this pandemic, after we've had a year to reflect, after you've kind of a lot of people evaluating what the hell is going on in the world and their community and their lives, like 10 times out of 10, you should take the harder path because you're going to have no idea what you're doing per you the last many years of your life, but it's going to be worth it. And not to put this cap on it. And I think that was a big thing the last couple of years for me was I thought, oh, in 2 weeks, this whole journey will be over. I'll find my path. I'll go 4 for 4 with my definition of success. So I kept putting labels and trying to box myself in and putting a timeline on this. Rather, the last 2 years have been this. This is a perpetual journey you're on, right? It's never going to be perfect. It's never going to be everything's going to work itself out. You're always improving. You're always growing. You're always learning. And I think taking that experience from leaving Florida in a stable situation, I was getting job offers to work for the Miami Heat in their sales department down in South Florida, I remember. But I said, no, I'm going to pack my bags. And I'm going to move to the craziest city in the world. And I'm going to go help start this nonprofit in Harlem. I had no idea. I'd never been to Harlem. I had no idea what I was doing. I looked like I look now, walking into Harlem, New York, and saying, I'm going to help. I'm going to make a difference. And I think it's really good thing not to have any idea what you're doing, which would be the moral of this last little monologue I'm giving you here.
Ignorance is, it's bliss. Yeah, I remember we were on the boat, you know, a few weeks ago, and yeah, I knew like pieces of your story, you and Jane's, but not too much. And we were on the boat, you were diving into, you know, going to Florida and some of the things you guys were doing in Florida. And I really respected that a lot because it's like you said, it's easy to take the path of least resistance when it is almost set up for you to succeed or options to succeed. It is very difficult and very few people make the decision to make things harder than they have to be. But to choose the hard thing is sometimes the right thing. And the easy thing is most often the wrong thing. And I think back to so many people that I went to high school with or college with. And, you know, what's hard is relative. Like you said, like hard is a relative term. It means something different to everyone. And I remember graduating high school and graduating college and watching kids that I was in school with and just bitching about everything, about how hard things were growing up. Sometimes you have mentors in your life that really set the precedence for expectations. And my parents, my grandparents for that. My mom was really involved in special education system. So she was a supervisor of special education. She was a coach for Special Olympics, always getting involved with the church, helping families who are less fortunate. So I saw that growing up and how my mom was always getting involved, and so was my dad. And then my grandparents, one side were dairy farmers. So everything was based off the weather and crop yield. And then the other side of the family was all military. And they taught me early on. They didn't really have to tell me. I just realized and experienced and watched it that whatever you want in life, you have to go out and take it for yourself. No one's going to show up on a silver plate and say, here's your opportunity. Would you like fries with that? You know, it's not handed out like that. So going back to, I would watch my friends take advantage of opportunities or not seize opportunities. They would just pass by and constantly complaining about things that were hard. And like I said, what is hard is relative. And choosing that hard right, it's right because it's difficult. And I respect the fact that when you guys went to Florida, you could have easily stayed where you were at and probably got some really good paying jobs and fell into the system and succeeded. But would the purpose be there? Would the passion be there? And I think that comes down to, I mean, that's like one of the most mature decisions you can make. A mature decision is to take a step backwards in order to gain experience and perspective. And bringing that full circle to the, in the beginning, that's where ego can't have a place. Like, why do most people not choose the hard right? Why do most people not take the path of most resistance? It's because of ego. You know, ego and opportunity.
Well, I think there's a lot to unpack there, but I'd say, I think ego is a reflection of your vulnerability towards what people think of you, right? And I think a majority of decisions people do or don't make is based off of how they feel it's going to be portrayed to other people. And I think this is a topic for another podcast. I'd love to ask you about how you've dealt with that, being in the limelight now and being on social media and consistently having people view you. But I think if you pull yourself out of that situation and say, what is the actual purpose of what I'm trying to do? Is it to please everyone? Or is it, for me, was it to actually make a difference? You know, and I think ego is a reflection of your insecurities, right? And I think if you address your insecurities and you just have a moment with them, a quiet moment, you talk about this all the time on your morning runs, and I talk about it. For me, it's my morning workouts or quiet times I found, but it's having a moment with yourself. And I think that was what that beach experience was for me, was I had all these really great, unique experiences, you know, going from this great childhood to Harlem, to New York City, to leaving Kentucky. And Jane and I said, we need to pull out here a little bit. And granted, the dream was to live on the beach in a little bungalow and just to live. And it was absolutely amazing. I was living my dream every day, but I was also stuck in neutral. I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And I said, I can do anything. And that it's, I knock on wood because I'm so thankful I can say that, because I've seen so many people that don't have that same opportunity to do whatever they wanted with their life. But for Jane and I was like, we can do anything. We know we want to make a difference. How are we going to put that all together? And every morning I'd get up, take the dogs, and we were literally right on the beach. And I would literally lay in the sand before the sunrise would come up, and I would just stare into the abyss of outer space. And I would just think about that decision and think about, what the hell am I actually going to do with my life? Because I always look, when I'm ever going to make a decision, talking about ego or chasing success or taking the hard path, go to the end of your life, right? Like, in the moment, it sometimes can be very tricky because there's so many little things that actually don't matter that are manipulating your actual opinion. For me, I always envision, I'm 90 years old. For some reason, this is the vision. I'm 90 years old. I'm old and gray and wrinkly, and I still got my bandana on. And I'm sitting in this dark hospital room with this little thing, the little cloth they put on you, and I'm just sitting there and I'm quietly, there's no one else in the hospital, I'm just reflecting on my life. And if you can say, what would that person, what would that version of yourself say about this decision you're trying to make right now? That 90-year-old person is going to tell you, who gives a shit about that person that you're probably making up a story about what they do or do not think about you? Or who cares about having to spend every single dollar you have on making your dreams come true? Who cares about taking the hard path? That person's going to say 10 times out of 10, the hard path was the right path every single time. Because I don't want to look back. My nightmare is looking back when I'm 90 and saying, shoulda, woulda, coulda. And that scares the shit out of me. And that's why I try, and most often fail, but failing is a whole other conversation, but try every single day to just say, I'm giving everything I have. I'm living my dream. It's not your dream, and that's fine. It's my little bubble of a little world, little perspective on living, but I'm going to live it. I'm going to have a good time, and I'm going to judge. I'm going to critique. I'm going to be emotional about it all. I'm going to worry. I'm going to, all those emotions are part of the journey, but I always take myself back to that 90-year-old person and say, don't say shoulda, woulda, coulda. Don't say it.
That's like, I quote in my book, 25 Hours a Day, and I heard it from Tucker Max. He said it where I saw him post this as one day, I think it was on Twitter, and it really just made me think where it was, you know, you die one day and you get buried under the ground, and as you're walking through the pearly gates of heaven, you meet the person. I meet the Nick Bear that I could have been. And he looks at me and says, you messed up. I'm who you could have been. Like, I'm the potential of where you were supposed to be. I know one of the things that I am most proud of about this business and the people involved is that we've made the right decisions. They have not been the easiest. They're always hard, but doing the right thing pays off. It really does. And you attract the right people in the right crowd and the right customers, and doing the right thing, no matter if it takes 10 times as much energy and 10 times as long to accomplish the same thing, when you do it right, it feels really good. It feels really good. So I want to go back to, I know you're really into reading. First off, I want to know, when you and Jane started talking about, Jane, your wife, started talking about this in Florida, and maybe he was in New York still, talking about perspective and experience and what you wanted to do and where you wanted to be, were you guys on the same page right from the beginning, or was it one person coming up with this idea and then having to really persuade the other?
So I alluded earlier to all these little moments in my life having this huge impact, and there's no bigger moment than meeting your spouse. I mean, the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with, it should be a really big moment, and it should be that moment. And I remember I was working in New York. I was working in politics because after I left Harlem, I said, I want to go fix what's happening in Harlem. I think the broken education system, the broken healthcare system, the broken inner city system, I said, the whole thing is based off of incompetent leadership. And I'm not pointing fingers, and I'm not saying one side's right or wrong, and I'm not saying they're always in the wrong. I'm just saying, based off of the political system we have, I think, not to get too political, but I think it's hard to make the right decision. It's hard to do the right thing. It's hard to be the leader that this country needs based off of the system that we've built up over the last couple of years, because power and money never equal usually making the actual difference you want. So I was working and very passionate about politics at the time, but I was working for a guy that was running for mayor of New York City. And I was extremely passionate about getting other younger millennials just involved in the concept. Because for me, politics is service, right? There's no, besides military, there's no greater service in theory than serving your country through being in politics, being a public servant, if you will. And so I view politics as a public servant. So I was working, but I was striking out with all my friends in terms of, hey, you want to come to this political rally or this? And this was so out of my normal league, you know, growing up, sports and fitness and running around and going out with your buddies in New York City. So I was going off on this crazy tangent. I put out this email pretty much as a call for help saying, I'm diving deep into trying to make a difference. And I put 30 of my buddies on there. I said, if any of you guys want to get involved and learn more, let's do it. And a lot of friends responding saying, love you. You're great. No idea what you're talking about, but keep going because I think you do care and you should keep going with this whole thing. I put that out and joined this mayoral campaign in New York City, which was absolutely bonkers. But I think there's a lot of synergies with a mayoral campaign and a startup type of culture, like working at BPN. Everyone's doing everything. You run around like crazy. Everyone steps up and is leaders and run around town helping people. And a couple months later, I get an email from a friend of mine saying, hey, I just got this email from this girl who just moved to New York City. And it sounds just like, and when I say this, like I'm literally goosebumps because I'm just like, how unbelievable the world is when you put yourself out into the world and you check your ego and you don't overthink what people are going to think about me and just put out some energy, some good energy of what you want. And it's always worked out for me, thankfully. He said, this girl's email looks just like that crazy ass email you sent me about a month or two ago. You should meet her. I said right away, I was like, I'm down, because my job was to bring people together, community events. And a lot of the events we're running now at BPN, I learned how to run those, talking about experiences, running them during this mayoral campaign. And so I was bringing people together and he's like, you should meet her. I'll connect you guys. And I didn't see her, didn't see any pictures. It was a quick email. Hey, I'll meet you for coffee on 33rd and 3rd at Le Pan in New York City. And I was like, all right, I'll meet you there. And talking about experiences and perspective, like I had opportunity to go through dates and get dumped and be dumped and all those things about relationships and learning from those too. Like we're talking about trying something and learn from them. And I think relationships are a whole different ball game. But in my mind, I knew, just like I knew working here at BPN was my dream. I said, in my mind, I'm going to know exactly what my wife looks like. I don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know where, but I know when she walks through the door, who she's going to be and what she's going to stand for and the type of person she's going to be. So I'm sitting there and per the lovely Jane Brady, she's 30 minutes behind schedule, in walks just my wife. And I looked at her and I said, that's the girl. That is the person I'm going to marry. Because
you proposed right there.
I proposed. I took off my, I said, let's get it on. And I looked at her and I just knew right away that was the person that I was going to marry, because she sent this crazy ass email. I sent this crazy email, and what was supposed to be a 30-minute coffee turned into a 3-hour marathon conversation about falling in love and starting a business together and trying to do some sort of resemblance of making the world a better place. And we've been on this crazy journey together for, it'll be 5 years in October. And my sappy story will end with just trying to tell the listeners what we were saying, which is follow your gut, put yourself out into the world, check your ego at the door, because most of the time everything is happening for you. And put your head up, put your phone down, look around the world, make eye contact with someone, shake someone's hand, hold the door for someone. Those little moments. This friend that connected me to Jane was like a friend of a friend. He wasn't even like this like close friend that I was keeping in tubs with all the time. But because of the energy I put out and because I was just like, I got to figure this out and no one's going to do it for me, right? He connected me with her, and the most important piece of my life walked in the door, because I think once you have that relationship solidified, for us at least, it was like everything else is icing on the cake. So let's move to Lexington and see if we can make a difference in Eastern Kentucky. Let's go live on the beach for the year. Let's let Jane chase her dream job in DC. And then when we both finally were able to link up together, saying Austin's a spot for both of us, because DC was not the spot really for both of us, but in particular for me, I was just not my spot. And I said, Austin was just that perfect link. So it's not all going to work itself out, but we've worked at our relationship every single day. And now we're both kind of waking up every day saying, this is what we always wanted, because we knew when we were in that spot, we were going to do what we wanted to do most, which was to help people. If you really want to help people, you have to help yourself first. You got to be in the best position to maximize other people's potential. And that's why BPN is just this fascinating concept, because we're just building this ecosystem focused on maximizing our potential in-house here, and then just shooting out that energy that we're building here into the world and saying, it's up to you, but we got some pretty good tools, some pretty good tricks up our sleeves that will help you through hard work and consistent determination. And it definitely was a magical experience, but hard. I mean, relationships are very, very hard, but the most important thing you can have, because you got to have someone that believes in us crazy ass people around here. And we all have the spouses deserve a huge credit because they're unbelievable. The spouses we have at BPN, Britt keeping up with Yuli and Steph keeping up with Nick and all of them, Shay, who's new to the community, and Michaela and Phoebe, and all of them are just amazing people. And you've built a truly exceptional just group of people.
I'm a people person. We are in business for the people. It's the people first that create the products. It's the people that create the community, right? We have this amazing group of people that are a part of BPN. And that's why the hiring process is so important. It's not just culture. It is the individual people, because they are, and I love this word, we use this in the military, this phrase, they're a force multiplier. When you bring the right person in for the right job, they force multiply the business to reach people and places and things you've never reached before and accomplish things that you never even could have thought of, right? So I told Steph, like, after you were hired, after the first 30 days, I said, why it's going to do so much more than I thought, than I originally planned or thought. You know, when I originally hired you for the team, and I thought what you were going to do with the job that you were given, it's only a fraction of what you've done so far. And you've truly taken the job and you've run with it. You know, everyone that makes a difference here, BPN is theirs. It's not just somewhere they come to work and get paid by. It is truly like it's a piece of theirs. I think just with the things that we're going to do in the next couple of years, we're going to probably look back at this episode, at this podcast, and be like, dude, the amount of experience and perspective we gained just in that small amount of time has been amazing.
Yeah. And I'd say just a quick story, because I think helping people is what makes the world a better place by definition, right? And I think BPN and the thing we've built here, this rocket ship of helping people fueled by InFlight, is the rocket ship we built here is just of helping people. You don't have to have this BPN ecosystem to help people. And I think a lot of times, first of all, look in the mirror and help yourself first and foremost. It's so easy, because that's the hardest thing, right? It's so easy to say you're going to help someone, or to judge someone else's journey, or to say, oh, I know the answer to that person's problem. I think social media has just highlighted that, where everyone's got everyone else's problem solved.
That's the truth.
But when you look in the mirror, and I'm not pointing fingers, and I do this every day, and there's a lot of areas I'm always working on and feel very self-conscious about, but I think helping yourself is crucial. Look around, like the immediate friends and family right around you, the neighbor who hasn't been checked on, right? The person at the gas station who checks you in and out if you get your gas, or the person at HEB that's ringing you up. Like, everyone's going through a human experience, and most of those people, especially the one I just said, those people could use someone just to make eye contact and look and say, how you doing? What's going on? People don't necessarily always want help. People just want to feel like someone's there to help them. And I think that could be a lesson for all of us to continue to take as we all dive deeper in this community. And the quick story I'll tell, which is a perfect segue to this book. I'm reading a book on President Eisenhower, and it's in the 1950s, late 1950s, and it's during beginning of the real civil rights movement. And when you talk about, we always want to help some imaginary figure out in the world that we think is going to help us and check off all the boxes, we'll make money off of them, our social media will blow up if we help this person, right? It's going to get a lot of views if I go feed this homeless person. But it's this great analogy where the civil rights movement was bursting at the seams. This is right when Alabama was going through all their boycotts, and Martin Luther King was starting to rise to prominence, and Eisenhower and at the time Vice President Nixon weren't doing anything about the civil rights movement. Granted, it was the hottest button and still is a very hot button, but they refused to go to the South. They refused to listen to these civil rights leaders. They refused to make a real difference in what was going on in your backyard, in the person across the street from you, the Black community that was living in DC or living through the South. But they sent President Nixon to Ghana, because Ghana was breaking away from Imperial Great Britain, and they were having this, their first democracy. They were coming to real first world status as a country. And President Eisenhower sent a whole armada of diplomats and Nixon and all these congressmen and senators across the globe to go to Ghana to represent, to show the world that we are this great mighty power and we're here to help. And Nixon goes up and he meets Martin Luther King Jr. for the first time. And this is Martin Luther King, who was just starting to come to prominence. And he meets Martin Luther King. And Nixon says, "Oh, it's such a pleasure to finally meet you here in Ghana." And Martin Luther King Jr. says, "Well, Mr. Vice President, I'd like to say the same thing. But unfortunately, you'll travel around the world to show your support of Ghana, but you won't travel two states down to Alabama to show your support for Americans." And I think for me, that was such like a powerful story of two just these historical figures where you're always consumed by this, what people are going to think of you're helping people, right? And how it's going to be portrayed rather than these little tiny acts of support and love and care for a fellow human being right in your neighborhood, right in front of you, right in looking at back at you in the mirror. And so I think for me, it's just this magical idea of like the community you're helping. If you really want to make the world a better place, like help yourself and help one person that's in your community dive deep into their journey, because that is going to be a lot more powerful than some social media post or visit to Ghana that's going to get a lot of likes, but is it actually going to make a difference in someone's life?
We look back at things that have happened in history, tragedies and traumatic events that have changed the course of the world. And we look at those as a society and we say, how did that ever happen? How did anyone ever let that stuff happen? How did anyone get away with that? And we look back at history and it's easy in retrospect to say, that was horrible. That should have never happened. I would never let that happen. But then there's things current time, today, that are happening that people are ignoring. But in 10, 20, 30 years, when there's some retrospect, they say, how did anyone let that happen? You know, there's things that are going around and on all the time that are horrible, but we ignore it. And I want to segue that into, we were in Cancun, Mexico a few weeks ago for Challenge Cancun for the race. We were at this one restaurant. It was Taboo Cancun, the whole team. I was sitting next to Steph. You were sitting next to Steve and Natasha. And I was listening to you and Steve have a conversation about history and studying history. And you both connected on the book you were currently reading and talking about history. Then you furthered that conversation at lunch. I was listening in on it and I was picking up on things that I could see Steve was really, really engaged in that conversation. And where I'm going with that is, where did your passion for, because I see the things that you read in your free time, and a lot of them are from historical leaders or historical events. Where did the passion and the reasoning and the want to learn about history come from?
Yeah. Well, I think Steve's a great listener, by the way. And when you have two margaritas from Taboo, that usually helps listen a little bit more. So it was a good culmination of a good conversation. But I think from the highest level, like I would look at myself and I'm assuming you'll agree. And I know Yuli will agree. Like we're students of life, right? And like everything underneath that is just a byproduct of us learning and implementing what we learn and turning that into some sort of concept of how we live our lives every day, right? So like I've always been some sort of student of life, of just obsessed with learning, obsessed with applying what I learned to action, obsessed with having a goal and going and accomplishing that goal, and then having the amazing opportunity to go accomplish another goal. And I think I've always loved history, from high school to middle school to University of Virginia. I was a history major at the University of Virginia, and I never could really, everyone's like, oh, you want to be a lawyer with a history major? What are you going to do with the history major? I said, there's nothing better. I think philosophy is up there because it's a study of human personality and how humans interact with each other. But I think there's nothing more important, at least in my book, than history, learning history, understanding history, because per this conversation, history is perspective of what has worked and what has not worked in order to have this whole concept of society and 7 billion crazy human beings living on this floating rock in the middle of nothing, surrounded by billions of other stars and Earths and galaxies, and Preston Bear is gonna be fired up because aliens are out there. I'm saying, but alien, and Preston's on a big alien kick.
Big alien kick right now.
Trying to convince us. But this concept of like, what the hell are we doing? We're this little thing living for this finite period of time on this rock that somehow is conducive to allow us to live, and we're floating in this galaxy. And I think like having that idea of perspective and like, okay, so that's this big perspective, and how have we gotten here? How are we as a human race? How are we here? What are the good things that have gotten here? And I think what I love about history is learning like, who are the people? What are the moments? What are those opportunities that made all these pieces, this puzzle piece called society in our lives, come together to put us in this position to live the lives we're living? And I think for me, having that background of just loving history, loving perspective, understanding this study of life, and then the quote that sticks with me in my reading about, I'm on a presidential biography kick. It started during the presidential election of 2015-16. That shook a lot of people up, rightfully so. And for me, instead of pointing fingers, I took a step back and said, if I point a finger, usually when someone points a finger, they're expressing a vulnerability of something that they're not addressing in their lives, right? They're putting the blame on someone else. And usually when you point a finger, there's two pointing right back at you, right? They're pointing right back at you saying, you're the reason you're pointing. So you need to solve your own problem before you tell someone else to go solve theirs. So I was so frustrated and angry and wanted to do something during this presidential election, knowing that I loved history and I wanted to learn more. But I was tired of like talking a big game about going to do something, and I wanted to go really make a difference. And that election really shook me up because I thought, and still do, we deserve better. The greatest country, the greatest world, we're in the most amazing moment to be living as human beings. So I think every moment is a better moment than the last moment. Humans are just perpetually making things better. We're in the best world we've ever lived in outside of this crazy pandemic thing. But for me, it was like, instead of pointing fingers about this presidential thing and saying, oh, they're a bunch of idiots or they don't know anything or what are we doing here? I said, let me go figure out what the heck is actually happening and has happened. Who are the most important people in American history? Who are these figures that have been thrusted up into the pinnacle of decision-making where their time and energy is focused on making decisions for 250, 300 million people's lives on a daily basis? Who are these people? How did they get to these positions? And where did they succeed? And most importantly, where did they not succeed? And where can we learn? What can we learn from these people and these experiences and these moments that these people were a part of? And so for me, it was just this lifelong study of life mixed with, if you see the problem, you are the solution. And for me, you are the problem if you are, your ego won't let you learn and figure out how to address what you are pointing the finger about, right? And so for me, I was pointing to politics saying, no one's doing anything about politics. No shit, no one's doing anything. So why don't you go do something? Why don't you go read a book? Why don't you go leave my corporate job, which my bosses were making $5-7 million a year in commercial real estate in New York City. And I left to go make $50,000 helping run a guy's political campaign for mayor of New York City because I thought he was the right guy to actually make a difference. He actually cared about solving problems. So that was for me this big monumental decision about just like the trajectory of my life. Do I want to sit at a desk all day? And a lot of people love that opportunity, sit at a desk and make a lot of money, but not feel like I fulfilled my purpose in life. Or do I want to go to where the action is, to where I think I can actually make a difference? And so I went there, and firsthand experience, which you talk about all the time, which is like every book in the world could be read. Sooner or later, you're going to have to go do it, right? And so I was reading these books, and at the moment I said, I can't sit in this desk any longer. I have to go figure out how to help. And another friend of a random friend connected me with this guy running for mayor. And I said, well, let me read about who these people were in the past to actually figure out how we got here and what's going on and why this somewhat makes a little bit more sense what we're going through than it's all a shit show and the world's going to fall apart and America sucks, right? And I think it's helped me have perspective, helped me history and perspective help you maybe see a bigger picture towards a lot of things and not be so narrow-minded in terms of holding on to the negative and understanding we are in this journey called life and this evolution as human beings, and things happen and we move forward and humans solve them and move forward in the right direction. So it's been this crazy journey. I'm 30, like six books down. I've gotten about 25 of the presidents. So the goal is to read a book on every president of the United States. And my last point would be, if I am, and you, I think, are obsessed with time and energy, like there's no more pinnacle of maximizing time and energy than the president of the United States, just based off of their schedule, their lives, and their daily activities. So I think it is fascinating. And I think for my job every day showing up is like, how can I maximize Nick's time and energy? Because that's all we really have, right? You have this finite period of time on Earth every single day, every minute. And the energy that goes into time is how results are driven or results don't come to fruition. So it's always thinking, what can I learn in this book that I can apply in my own life and then imply in people's lives like yourself, who I think are and can continue to make a real difference in the world. And I think a lot of that comes from just being obsessed with learning.
I think one of the things that many people can take away from this episode, I mean, this episode is powerful. I knew it was gonna be powerful, but damn, this is a good one. I think one of the things people can take away is experience and perspective is everything. Those are two things that many people never give themselves the opportunity to achieve. They get no experience or actual real experience, and they're not open and willing to accept perspective. And what gets in the way is, for a lot of people, what I see, ego, and sometimes their passions get, you know, the best of them. Where when ego and passion comes out, and it comes out strong, that's when perspective goes out the window, experience goes out the window. And it's, you can see when someone's speaking through the lens of ego and passion, where there's no wheeling, dealing, and encountering with people when they're in this headspace. And it's slowing down and pulling back. And there's no substitute for the maturity that is delivered and built by perspective and experience. And I think you're a clear example of a mature mind, a mature person and man that has developed through pure experience and perspective because of choice. Not necessarily necessity, but the choice to do that. And that's pretty awesome. So I think that was, those are some knowledge nuggets right there. With that being said, Wyatt, thank you for coming on. We will definitely have you back on this episode. Keep doing great things for BPN and America. Go on more. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Bear Performance Podcast. If you enjoyed it, please feel free to leave a review on iTunes or share it with a friend. It helps us to grow and reach more people in hopes of changing lives with the Go One More mindset. Head on over to bpnsups.com for all your health, performance, and nutrition needs. We offer a wide range of products to help you feel and perform at your highest level, built on quality and proven by results without compromise.